Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and welcome to Good News. This is Deacon Al. I'm here once again, and probably for the last time, because they've been away from home for weeks now. They need to get back. I have my youngest brother, Tim. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
Thank you. And Tim's youngest son, Yashu.
Welcome,
Yashu.
Well.
And Yashu, we should say, and some people are saying Yashu. They haven't heard that name. That's actually a pretty common name, not necessarily in our culture, but Yashu's mom, the lovely Kasia, is from Warsaw.
Warsaw, Poland. Warsaw.
Yeah.
Here in the U.S. Yashu is a common name in Poland, and it's the Polish version of John.
John. So Ian, you find that in Scripture as an early version of John as well. So Ian, Yashu, John, all the same names. So welcome, Yashu. And we also have another John with us, our lovely engineer. Hello, John. Good to see you again. And we're missing James. And James will hopefully be back with us on next week's program. So we're going to continue a discussion that we started last week, and we really didn't get to finish. And that was to talk about free will and how it affected our two readings. We're talking about Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And then we had the end of the Bread of Life discourse from Luke, which we didn't touch on, from John, rather, which we didn't touch on at all, and I'd like to get back to. And Yashu had some more questions about free will. So let's bring that up again, and I'll turn that over to you, Yashu.
In the Gospel from John, he mentions Jesus knew which of the people following him would believe in him and which of his disciples would betray him.
Right.
If he knew from the start who would act in which way, do any of them really have free choice?
Sure. So we're not talking free choice. We're talking free will.
Okay.
So here's what free will is, and I think a lot of people misunderstand the definition. Free will doesn't mean freedom. It doesn't mean the ability to do what you want. Free will, when we're talking theologically, free will is the freedom granted from God for us to be able to choose to do the right or to do the wrong in any situation. So God never forces you to do what's right, and he never forces you to do what's wrong. What we do is from our own free will choice. We determine if we do the right or wrong. Now, God may know what we're going to choose, but that doesn't mean he influences the choice. So you are never forced to do evil. Never. Anytime we sin because we choose to. It's a deliberate act. And that's what free will is talking about. And we see free will in our gospel. So what happens is Jesus is talking to a large crowd, mostly his disciples. These are people who have been following Jesus. Some of them have been following for years. And he's getting to a very important turning point now in his teaching. And he's talking about the fact that his body is real food and his blood is real drink. And the response from his followers is, huh? What do you mean by that? He says, I mean that if you don't eat of my body and drink of my blood, you cannot enter heaven. No. He says, no, I mean it. You must eat my body and drink my blood or you can never enter heaven. And they have a choice now. They have a choice to believe him and accept his word, even if they don't understand it, or they have the ability to choose to walk away. And most of them chose to walk away. And that's what the gospel reading is about. It's about a matter of free choice. They believed everything Jesus said up to this point. That's why they're following him. They've gone out into the wilderness with him and followed him for a long time. They've gone out on mission for him, where he sent them out to cast out demons and heal the sick. And they went out and they did it, and they came back just a couple weeks before this takes place we hear in our scripture readings from John that they came back to tell Jesus, it worked. We cast out all these demons and it worked. We healed people by praying over them and it worked. What you said we could do worked. And now that Jesus has them understanding that he has that there's this power available to them through their faith, he says, now the final step, the big thing you have to understand is that the manna that came, that fed the Israelites didn't come from Moses. It came from God. And now God sends you a new bread. I am the bread of life. And just as you ate the manna, you must eat of the bread of life. You must eat of my body as real food. My blood is real drink. You must eat and drink of my body and blood to enter heaven. And most of his followers said, no, I can't handle that. And they walked away. It's a very important point in our Christian life. And it all comes down to free will. They could have chosen to accept Christ's word. They could have chosen to refuse. Many refused. Some chose of their own free will to stay. So the scripture says that Jesus knew who was going to walk away, and he knew who was going to stay. But he didn't affect that. They chose that. Does that make sense?
Well, that makes sense. I still have the question of, they chose to walk away, and Jesus knew that.
And he let them.
And he let them, but they would never have chosen to stay because he knew they would leave.
No, they could have chosen to stay. He knew they would leave because he's God, and God exists in all time periods. Say, Jesus and God are one. Okay, they're separate persons, but they're also in unity. And so everything God knows, Jesus knows. Everything Jesus knows, God knows. So God lives in all time periods outside of what we can even imagine in our humanness. And so God knows what choice we're going to make, but that doesn't mean he influences the choice. If I put a bowl of ice cream in front of you, You're a smart guy. I put a bowl of ice cream in front of you. I put a bowl of mud, and I said, you're free to eat one. I know which one you're going to choose. That doesn't mean I make the choice. You still might choose the mud. There are people who, through their brokenness, would eat the mud. That's their choice. I didn't force either one on you. There's one in front of one choice in front of you is good for you, one choice is bad. It's your free will choice to make that choice. God doesn't make you choose one or the other. I didn't make you choose one or the other. Even though I know what you're going to choose, that doesn't mean I forced the choice on you.
The difference is that your Uncle Al doesn't know as completely what's in your heart as Jesus knows what's in your heart.
That's a great point.
I'm likely to choose ice cream, but it's not a certainty.
No, but it's your choice. I'm pretty sure I know what you're going to choose. God, being perfect, knows what you're going to choose. I'm being imperfect. I think I know what you're going to choose. But it's still your choice. And in everything we do, we have the ability to choose good or evil. God never makes us choose evil. He doesn't force us to choose good. If we come to God, if we come to Christ, as the apostles did at this moment in Scripture, if they chose Christ, that's their free will choice. God didn't force them to follow Christ. God doesn't force people to sin, to turn their back on Christ. We sin through our own free will, and that's what free will is about. Don't confuse it with the freedom to do whatever you want. That's not what free will is about. Free will is a theological condition, and it's the fact that God doesn't force us to love him, doesn't force us to turn our back on him. He doesn't force us to choose good. He doesn't force us to choose evil. We do those things out of a free will granted to us by God, and he will not interfere with that. He promises that he will not interfere with that. So that's why, and that this kind of leads into something else. People say, well, if God loves us, why does he send people to hell? He doesn't. People choose hell. God doesn't send anyone to hell. You choose sin. Choose sin is a free will choice. So when you turn your back on God, you do that out of your own choice. God doesn't send you to hell. People choose hell. Hell exists because some people choose to turn their back on God. So in this case, we have people who chose to turn their back and walk away from Christ. And you say, well, that was 2,000 years ago. Well, people still do that. People still do that. There are still people who believe Jesus says in the scripture three times, not only here in John, but later on at the Last Supper, Jesus again says, this is my body. Not this represents my body. This is my body and this is my blood. And yet we have lots of people today, brother and sister Christians, who say, well, that's not what he meant. He meant it represents. It's a symbol. And Jesus never says it represents him. He never says it's a symbol. He says, this is. He says, my body is real food. And he holds up the bread and he says, this is my body. So there's nothing representational about this. And yet every day people turn their back. You know, 60% of Catholics do not believe that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ. 60% of Catholics don't believe that. So we even have within our own faith people turning their back on Christ and on what he says. They say, well, that's not what he means. Well, you don't get to pick and choose that. You don't get to read parts of Scripture and say, well, I like that. I like what he's teaching there. I'll accept that. Well, I don't like what he's saying there. I'm going to refuse that. That's what some of his disciples did in the gospel reading. They're picking and choosing which teachings they like. Well, if Jesus is God, then all his teachings are true and all his teachings are good. And the whole Bread of Life discourse is about that. Is you can't just say, because I don't like this, I'm not going to accept it. I'm going to walk away. You either choose to follow Christ and all he says, and some of the things he says are hard, just like in Peter's letter to the Ephesians, some of the things he says about marriage might be hard to understand. It doesn't make him wrong. It just means you don't understand it yet. And there are parts of Scripture we don't understand yet. But in our faith, in our trust in Christ, we say, it's true, even if I don't understand it, it's true because it's Christ. We'll come back with more information from Good News right after these messages.
Stay tuned. Good News will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
You've heard of Dr. Ray Guarendi, famed psychologist, charming speaker, author, father of 10, and funny as can be. He's the host of the radio show, The Doctor Is In, and the TV program, Living Right with Dr. Ray. We are thrilled to announce that he's coming to Bloomington. It's an evening that you won't want to miss. Thursday, October 7th, the social hour begins at 5. There's a cash bar and silent auction, followed by a buffet and Dr. Ray's keynote presentation, Standing Strong as a Parent and Grandparent. This spot on Catholic Psychologist doesn't pull any punches. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll learn, you'll enjoy. This charity event at Eastland Suites in Bloomington benefits Catholic Spirit Radio. Check out all the details at CatholicSpiritRadio.com and then make your reservations no later than September 27th. You might even choose to sit at Dr. Ray's table. For questions, call Carolyn, 309-830-4164.
Has your health or the health of a loved one been your main concern these days? Have you felt, no matter how good the medical care received, there might be something missing? You're not alone. Our Lady of Good Health is praying for you and your loved ones. The more trustingly you approach her, the more you'll experience God's love, embracing and empowering you through life's hills and valleys. Come, join us to celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Good Health on Saturday, September 11th at 10 a.m. This free event will take place at St. Patrick Church of Myrna in East Bloomington. The celebration includes Holy Mass, a Eucharistic Marian procession, and the blessing of the sick. Plus, an Indian luncheon will be served. Come pray for the gift of good health at the feast day celebration of Our Lady of Good Health. For further details, visit stpatrickmyrna.org or their parish Facebook page. Our Lady of Good Health, pray for us.
Catholic parishes in Central Illinois will soon begin their RCIA courses. RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults, is a course designed for anyone interested in learning more about the Catholic faith, or living it more fully. Perhaps your spouse is Catholic, and you have long considered entering the Church. Maybe you are an active Catholic who has not received all the sacraments of Christian initiation. Perhaps you left the Catholic Church long ago, and want your questions and concerns answered before returning. Maybe you're a non-Catholic Christian, or not a Christian at all, and want to know more about the Catholic Church and the one true God. If any of these circumstances is like your own, then RCIA is just what you need. RCIA classes typically include presentations, discussions, prayer, and fellowship. Contact a Catholic parish near you today for details and to register. Be certain to tell others, and do feel free to bring a friend.
And welcome back to Good News. I just want to remind you, if you have a question about Christianity, your Christian faith, or the Catholic faith, you're welcome to write those questions to us. We'll talk about them on the air. Our email address is goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org, and we look forward to your questions. Tim had a great conversation here during our break, and let's talk about the difference between God being omniscient and God affecting our free will.
Yeah, so I was saying the one of the things that I found very helpful is you have to appreciate what Al was saying about God existing outside of time and space. And whether you're talking about God as creator, God as all-powerful, or whether God exists, it really helps to focus on that idea that he is not part of this world.
Right.
As in his presence as God. He has existed all the time. He exists outside of everything. He exists at every moment that has ever been.
Or ever will be.
Or ever will be, all the way to the end of time. And so whatever that will be. And so he's not next to you when you're making decisions saying, pick this, or I know you're going to pick this. When you're born, he has seen all of the decisions that you've already made. He hasn't made them for you, but he already exists.
Great point.
Ahead of you and knows what's going to happen.
So we have in some of the faith traditions of the Protestant Church, we have the belief in predetermination and predestination, to where from the moment you're conceived, God knows if you're going to heaven or hell. And there's a real problem with that in the Catholic belief, as well as in some other Christian beliefs, and that is, that would be a very mean God to allow you to be born and conceived for the purpose of going to hell. That doesn't fit what we know of the characteristics of a loving God. So predestination doesn't make any sense when you look at the bigger picture of who God is and what we know of God's love for us. And it also would mean that there's no chance during your life for rehabilitation or for a coming to Christ. He's saying from your very conception, I'm not going to allow that to happen. And that's not a loving God. So even though he might know that you're on a wrong path, that and he knows you're going to make some bad choices, he also leaves open that freedom to choose otherwise, to get back on the right path. So we have a loving God who accepts, who understands, even though we will make mistakes, and we'll all make mistakes. We are all broken. Thank you, Adam and Eve. We are all broken through the sins of our fathers, but also through our own sins. And he still loves us, and he still wants us to choose to come back to him through our own errors. So free will has to be looked at as, it's not freedom. It's not doing whatever you want. Free will is strictly a theological concept about God not forcing us to do what's wrong, what's evil, not forcing us to do what's good. If we love and follow God as the apostles did in our gospel reading in John, we do that. They did that out of their own free will choice, that God did not force them to decide to follow Jesus. Nor did God force the disciples who chose to walk away from Christ to walk away. He gave them the opportunity to choose to stay or choose to leave. He gave them the free will choice to make that. And some chose to walk away. He did not write them off when they did that. He didn't say, okay, that's it, we're done with you. The door is still open for them to make a new choice and return to Christ. And I think some probably did. I think that as they realized the resurrection, many of them probably did return. We don't know that because that's not in Scripture, but it certainly makes sense, knowing that God is a forgiving God, that if some of those disciples realized their error and wanted to return to Christ, they would be allowed to.
And knowing that he's a loving God, think how hard it actually is for God to know these people are going to walk away from him.
Right. Right. And that's why.
How painful that must be.
Yeah. And that's why we talk about the Good Shepherd. You know, and again, this is one of those weird, contrary things that are in Scripture, where Jesus says, you know, if a shepherd loses one sheep, wouldn't he leave his 99 sheep and go in search of them? Well, no. What shepherd in his right mind would do that? But God is different. And God's saying that he loves even the ones who wander away and doesn't just wait for them to come back. He seeks them out. So even these people who walked away in our gospel reading, that's not the end of their relationship, because God seeks them out. And he does that through us. That's our role in the church as the new disciples, is to help seek out these lost sheep and bring them back. And that's the good news. If you've strayed from the flock, if you've wandered away from your relationship with God, that relationship is not done. God is not through with you. God still loves you and still awaits to be brought back into union with you. Thank you so much for being part of Good News today. We will talk to you again next week. Until then, may Almighty God bless you, protect you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life. God bless.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.